In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What in the world was God thinking? God had sent the flood waters to cover and destroy the whole earth. Only 8 people out of hundreds of millions were permitted to survive. And only 2 of each kind of animal were allowed to live. 2 dogs, 2 cats, 2 horses, 2 cows, 2 monkeys. You get the idea. It was now up to them to go forth, be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the whole earth, once again. Decades passed, and many descendants were then born to Noah and his sons and their families. And they were on their way to fulfilling this decree of God. Yet many of them, migrating from the east, decided to stay put there on the plain of Shinar. And now naturally, everyone coming from Noah, from his family, only spoke one language at that time. And they all shared similar physical characteristics and near identical cultures. The people wanted to keep it that way. And so to do so, they built for themselves a big city right there on that plain, and with a tall tower that would scrape the skies. Their motivation? Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. God forbid. Did not look like God's decree would be obeyed after all. God knew what this would lead to. Their ability to accomplish anything they set their minds to. In response, God dispersed them over the face of the whole earth. Imagine that. One moment you were there with all of your family, your loved ones, your friends, enjoying life there on that plain of Shinar. No language barrier whatsoever. All in harmony and peace together. And the very next instant, before you knew what took place, you were somewhere you had never seen before. Never even thought or knew existed before. The whole wide world. You would really have no clue where on God's green earth you now were. Everything was foreign and everything was strange, and added to that, you were given the use of a whole new language. What was God thinking? Many mistakenly assume that the people building the Tower of Babel were trying to reach heaven itself. But being descendants of Noah and of his family, and knowing still the one true God as it had been handed down to them, they would know that such a thing was impossible. Instead, they sought to build something tall enough for them to be able to see without getting too far away. Many then mistakenly think that God was somehow troubled by mankind's apparent ability to reach him there in his heaven, so he must put a stop to it. What was really going on? It was not unlike what happened with Adam and Eve. Rather than trust in God and in his word alone, they went their own way. If man was permitted to accomplish whatever he tried to accomplish, truly all would be lost. There will always remain one thing that humanity cannot achieve, and that is salvation. righteousness, and peace with God. It is by grace are you saved, by faith. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have eternal life. We are justified by faith, apart from works of the law. God created us and all people to trust in Him alone, to rely upon Him for all the things needed. Adam and Eve doubted God's promise, and they then took the step of thinking that they knew more than God. If the people following the flood were allowed to remain in their big city with their tall, tall tower to the skies, they would go that route too. They would not trust in God. Now, this is not a blow to God's ego. His pride is not damaged by man's rejection, as ours most likely would be. But why God disperses the masses and confuses their language is for their own good. It is for their salvation, which they cannot accomplish. They must go back to trusting in God for all things. That trust, that faith is eternal life. The dispersion, then, of all people across the globe, mixing up of their languages, was to bring mankind back to faith and trust in God. God never intended them to be isolated from each other, or for anyone to think that they are really any different from anybody else. Rather, we all belong to the same race, the human race. The very race that the Lord Jesus became one with. Jesus joined our human race so that He could save our human race. Jesus, the very Word made flesh, the Word made into the human race, suffered all things, and He died upon the cross for all of our sins, to destroy sin and death for all. This great and mighty work of Jesus Christ is now what the Father calls all people to believe. By His innocent suffering and death, the Lord Jesus has defeated the curse of sin. He has changed humanity and our history forever. The human race is no longer enslaved to sin, not in Jesus. And the human race has been lifted up, elevated once more in Jesus, to be always with the Father. This great gospel truth is what the day of Pentecost was all about. Yes, there was that sound of the mighty rushing wind. Yes, there were tongues as of fire divided out upon the disciples of Jesus. And yes, those 12 men were able to speak in languages they had never even learned before. But it was all for one reason: to proclaim Jesus Christ. Fulfilling His promise to His disciples, the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit from His Father, 50 days removed from His resurrection. Again, on a Sunday morning, human history was rocked forever. Peter stood up then before thousands of Jewish pilgrims there in the temple vicinity, and he spoke forth with the Holy Spirit's divine power. Truly, the power of God was poured out then upon all the people that day, so that whoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And that is exactly what happened. Peter's preaching that very day led to over 3,000 guilty Jews asking, "What shall we do?" Repentance and baptism are prescribed. Real baptism, which gives forgiveness of sins. It gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity, giving faith, trust in Jesus. 3,000 Jews were brought to repentance, to change course from the old Jewish code. They were baptized into Jesus, into the way, the truth, the life, and their lives were changed forever. The course of the world is changed forever. For the Lord Jesus continues to reign. Even now, can't see it. Not with our own visible eyes, but indeed through the eyes of faith, as he does so through word and sacrament. He conquers over sin with the power of his word. He declares you forgiven, and you are. He declares you washed in his own righteousness, and you are. He declares you fed with his body and blood, and you are. And the Holy Spirit is always right there with that word of Jesus, working faith in your heart. He is, as we confess, the Lord and giver of life. He is the Lord of life because he possesses all life as true God, and forth from him has come the life of this world. He is that giver of life because then he gives Jesus wherever the word of the gospel is proclaimed. And he has come forth from the Father and the Son. None came before after the other. They all bear full power as God. The Holy Spirit is to be worshiped and glorified, just like the Father and the Son. And he is the one who has spoken by the prophets. He is the one who has spoken by the apostles. And he is the one that continues to speak by all those who proclaim Jesus Christ and him crucified, sons and daughters of the King, you and me. The Holy Spirit's work is to call, to gather, to enlighten, and to sanctify the whole Christian church on earth, and to keep it through the gospel. And he is doing that even now, as he has done throughout the generations. For by the very salvific work of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is drawing people of the world over into the Father's care. The apostles were given the ability to speak the gospel in languages they did not know, but all would come to believe the same gospel message, no matter what language they spoke. And that is the very unifying language, the one voice that all believers in Christ share, who Jesus is and what he has done. This is what God wants all people to believe. For it is the only message that saves from sin and gives eternal life. And that is because this message is that the only begotten Son of God has saved you from your sin, and he thus gives you eternal life by his death and his resurrection, which comes to you freely now, in word and in sacrament. And that is what God has been thinking all along. Christ Jesus for you. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.